Praise the Lord. Now that needs to be your position, your expectation, your faith, your desire in Christ. He plunged me to victory beneath his cleansing flood, the blood of Jesus Christ. And there I find, neath that flow of the blood of Jesus, I find victory for me. Over what? Over the world, over the flesh, over the devil. Jesus Christ is victor. And thank God that he is. And he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And there are some things that I think help us in laying hold of the victory. Now, there are many things that the Bible talks about and teaches us. And it's good for us to get into the Bible to find how to secure the victory, how to make it mine. People fool around with the enemy. They want the victory, but they also don't want to shut the door on the enemy. The Bible says, don't give place to the devil. Don't give him the opportunity. Don't let him stick his foot in the door, his nose in the door. Don't entertain the things that belong to the enemy, because you're not able to combat in your strength that which the enemy will throw your way. Don't open the door. Don't give place to the devil. A little bit of misdoing, a little bit of chicanery. One of my favorite verses is probably not your favorite, but maybe it'll become your favorite. It's from Ecclesiastes. Dead flies. Do you know this one?
Yes.
That's a good verse. Anybody know the rest of it?
You
spoil the apothecary's ointment. Dead flies cause the ointment of the apothecary to send forth a stinking savor. So doth a little folly in him that is in reputation for honor and wisdom. A little folly. A little innocent folly. It doesn't matter. It's not really doing it. It's just thinking about it. It's not really doing it. It's just reading about it. Don't read about it. Don't do it. Don't think about it. Don't entertain it. Close the door. Don't let it into your mind. Because as you think in your mind, that's the way you're going to be. Think on these things, Paul said to the Philippians. What are the things to think on? Think on these things. Things that are lovely, that are pure, that are virtuous, that are of good report. If there be any praise and any virtue, think on these things. And what's the next verse? And the God of peace shall be with you. You want the God of peace to be with you, Sasha? You do. There are other people here that want the God of peace to be with them. The God of peace will be with you if you put your mind and your attention stayed upon Jehovah. Hearts are fully blessed, finding, as he promised, perfect peace and rest. And these are things that we can do, because a little of that folly... You know, that verse might be difficult. I don't know what dead flies smell like. Did you ever smell dead flies? Never heard anybody say, get a whiff of that dead fly. I've heard about skunks, and I've heard about other things that decompose, and it doesn't smell pretty, but I never heard anybody say, boy, that dead fly stinks. But I guess they must, because dead flies cause the ointment of the apothecary, the perfume, maybe it says in the NIV, I don't know. But that perfume, you know what perfume is, not the toilet water, I mean the real stuff. That really expensive stuff. You get some dead flies in there, and something smells rotten in Denmark, if that's the name of your perfume. The dead fly makes it not so good anymore. A little. Be careful of the little, what does it say, the little?
Foxes.
Yeah, that's it, isn't it? Watch out for those little foxes that spoil the vine, because the grapes that are growing are very tender. They're easy to mess up, and you want to be careful, and so you've got to be careful. And those are things that are important. I once, it's probably not a true story, but maybe it'll help you to remember this. I once heard about an older couple that had a home in New York and also a summer home in Florida, or a winter home, I should say, in Florida. And the wife went on a business trip, and the husband was in New York, and it was getting cold in New York, and he was not wanting to stay there in the city, so he wanted to go down to the summer home in Florida, or the winter home in Florida. He wanted to go to that nice place that he had down in Florida. And so he packed up his stuff, and he went down to Florida, and he sent an email to his wife. And he wrote her a nice little letter. She was traveling abroad, and or wherever she was, I think was abroad. And so he emailed her a little note and wanted her to know that, don't come back to New York, go right to Florida, catch up to me there. And so he sent it. Now, I'm not very good with the computer. I don't know how to do a lot of things. I'm not even very good with the phone. I know how to answer it. That's about it. But anyway, you make one little mistake on that computer. I know this much. When you send an email, you know, my address, I think, is my last name, 8@msn.com. But if you put my last name and then put 9, just miss by, you know, instead of hitting the 8, you hit the 9. At MSN, who knows where it might go? I mean, Sarah might get it. I don't know what her screen name might. Somebody else might wind up with that. Just miss them by a little bit. Just a little foul, a little mistake. A little boo-boo. Could make a big mess. And it did in this case, because that man, he sent this off to his wife, but he just missed one digit or letter, and it went to a wrong person. It went to an elderly woman who had just come back to from the funeral of her husband. And she was, you know, looking through all the emails. She hadn't looked for a few days, and she was checking all her mail, and she got mail from this, you know, cousin and this niece and this one that was sending condolences and this one. And then she got another one. She opened it up, and it said, my dear wife. And she, right away, my dear wife, where is he writing me from? I mean, my dear wife, I just wanted you to know that I arrived safely. Well, she was getting a little concerned about this email. Then she read the next line. Said, I'm looking forward to you joining me in a few days. With that, she let out a yell. And she passed out on the floor in horror. And the rest of her family ran down and looked. And they saw the email. And, dear wife, dear honey, I just want to let you know I arrived safely. And looking forward to you joining me in a few days. Love, your dear husband, P.S. Just want to let you know it's awfully hot down here. Just a little mistake, you see? A little boo-boo. Do you get the point? Do you get the point? You know, Pilgrim Camp is strict, isn't it? No, it's not. The Bible is. And the reason why the Bible is so strict and we have to walk circumspectly, that means carefully and very carefully, is not because God is mean, because God knows what's best for us. And God knows if we're going to open the door, the enemy's going to come in like a flood. And if we are the ones that open the door, you can hang up the idea the Spirit of the Lord will raise up a standard against. No, He won't. Not if you open the door. Don't give the enemy that opportunity. Let me open the Bible with you for a couple of moments. Turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 10, if you would, where the Apostle Paul, writing about his own experience and about his own ministry, just one verse from there, I think it's the fourth verse, where he says, the weapons that we fight with are not the weapons of this world. On the contrary, the weapons that we fight with have divine power to demolish strongholds. You know, the strongholds get set up in our minds, they get set up in our hearts, they can get set up in our bodies, they can be passed down somehow or other by a familial link. Our parents did it this way and shoved it down our throats and we became that. But we have weapons that we can fight back with that are not carnal weapons. That is, they are not natural, normal, earthly wisdom. They're not just earthly chit-chats. And I'm sure there's good value in good counsel. But there's even better, something better than good counsel. There's something better than a psychiatrist's couch or a counselor's chair, or there's something better than speaking to, spilling your guts to somebody and everybody else. Tell it to Jesus, because He can enable us by His Spirit to take a weapon or two, not a carnal thing, not something that, you know, 12-step self-help, read this book, try to apply it, good luck. Hope you make it, come back next week, make sure you bring a checkbook. But there are weapons of our warfare that are not carnal, but that are mighty through God. They have divine power. Now, he doesn't say right here, though, he doesn't necessarily mention any of those weapons. What do you look for in a weapon? I mean, if I would you look for one like this? That's not a divine weapon, although it is in a divine place. I mean, it's at the altar of Pilgrim Camp. How much more divine could it be? I mean, I could use this as a weapon, too. And you want to test me, I'll let you. You can crack your head off. But this isn't the divine weapon. Divine weapon. What is the divine weapon, or what are these divine weapons? There are several of them, and I'm not going to dare go down the whole road, but could you tell me one?
Prayer.
Prayer. We've talked about that this week. The reason why I wanted to talk about prayer is because prayer works. God works through prayer. God answers prayer. And when we pray, as we talked about last Monday night, Lord, teach us to pray. Teach us to pray. As you prayed, because when you prayed, you got answers to prayer. So Lord, help me to pray the way you pray. Teach me. Well, we talked about that, and we're not going to talk about that anymore tonight, but prayer is a tremendous weapon. You have to employ those weapons, though. In other words, you have to pray. You have to pray if you want to defeat the enemy, if you want to break down the strongholds. You can't talk about it, read books about it. You've got to pray. You've got to put your mind to it or your shoulder to it. And you've got to say, okay, you know what? I'm going to pray. It's more important that I pray than I go online and I text message. It's more important that I talk to Jesus, because prayer is a weapon and prayer is a link to heaven. And I need help from heaven, because I can't stand in this evil day by myself. So I'm going to take the panoply of God. I'm going to take the weapon that's not carnal but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds called prayer. What else?
Praise,
Sister Gladys says. Sister Gladys, I'm not kidding now. We kid around a lot, I know. But I'm not kidding now. Have you found that praise works as a weapon? Yeah. Has anybody else found that praise works as a weapon?
Amen.
Praise works as a weapon. We're going to go back there in a minute. What's another weapon? The sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Anybody here that really is struggling or needs help and needs victory, fill your mind with the Word of God. Don't fill your mind with junk. Don't fill your mind with, I don't know what the popular things are anymore, but the dopey magazines that girls or boys read. Don't fill your mind with the latest this and that. I mean, look at the hairdos that are there and do what you got to do to make it explode like you want it. But, you know, there's something more important than delving into that and seeing what shades go with what this and that and the other thing. All right, good. Go for it if you got to go for it. But get into the Word of God. I mean, every day. I don't mean, oh, I did that. I think I did that. Oh, I get into the Word. Meditate in that Word day and night, and you will be like a tree. Now, you know, there are no shortcuts. I wish I could stand up here and tell you, you know, just rub the lamp or just go like this and say hallelujah twice and you're all there. It doesn't work that way. There are no shortcuts that I've found. Anybody find a shortcut you could tell me about? It's exercise, it's discipline, it's work, but it's God's work. And when we put ourselves to doing His will, you take one step towards God, you'll find that He'll meet the need. There is a broken bondage that He will break. There is an ability that He has through His precious blood to deliver and to save to the uttermost. And these are things that we all need to learn, because we don't come out of our mother's womb knowing this stuff. We got to learn it. And then when we learn it, we've got to grow up into it and become more mature in it. How did Jesus overcome the devil when the devil came at Jesus? He said, Jesus did, it is written. Now, Jesus could have gone out of my face. But I think Jesus there in Matthew 4 didn't do that, because I think He was helping us to understand something. You know what you have that Jesus used? You have the Word of God. It's no different. Jesus quoted from Moses' writings. You have Moses' writings in your Bible? So do I. And I could use the same Word of God. And Jesus did. And we need to learn to do that same thing. The weapons of our warfare are mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. Now, that also means something. Just saying words is not prayer. It's just waving a Bible or reading a chapter is really not taking that weapon. And just saying hallelujah three times isn't using the weapon of praise. That might be the start, might be the beginning, but we need to rightly divide the word of truth and be skilled in how to use it. And you don't get skilled in anything. I don't care what it is. You don't get skilled in anything unless you practice at it, unless you study it a little bit. We've got somebody that's going to become a pharmacist. We've got another person that's going to be, let's see, who's going to be something here that I know? I don't know. None of you are going to be anything else that I know of. But whatever you're going to be, you got to study. She's going to go to school for a long time, aren't you? Because she wants to be a pharmacist. Anything that you do, you want to be good at sports, you got to get out there and you got to play when nobody else is playing, all by yourself. You got to do it because you got to get good at it. Same thing with the Bible. You can't just one day dream up, oh, let's see, I need help. Let's see that. No. And you've got to practice to pray also. And not only practice to pray so your prayers become eloquent. Forget about the eloquence. Say, Lord, help me to pray in the Holy Ghost. Help me to pray under the anointing of your Spirit. Touch my heart so that when I pray, my prayer goes through to God. Help me to pray in faith, believing, not double-minded, that I receive the answer to the petition that I desire from you. And it's that way also when it comes to praise. You know, praising the Lord is not just making as much noise as we can. Now, I know maybe that's what some people think it is. Oh, we had a good meeting tonight because we raised the decibel level so that we all left half deaf. Wasn't that a wonderful time? Let's have a better meeting. Let's get a microphone and turn it all up all the way and so that the walls are moving and so are we. And that's not how to make a good. It's not in the decibel level. It's not even in the right words to say, but it's how you say them and the heart that you have when you say them. It's how you worship. It's not just that you worship, but worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. We're told that we are to bring our worship and our praises into His presence. You don't get there according to Psalm 24 unless you've got clean hands and a pure heart. You haven't lifted up your soul to vanity or sworn deceitfully. That's how you get up into the hill of the Lord. And as we get into His presence, as Isaiah did, as we read last night, and we see who He is and we see who we are, we drop down to our knees or to our faces, and you might cry out, woe is me. But you also might cry out, holy, holy, holy Lord God Almighty. And as you get a sight of Him and just begin to worship Him, I've known personally people that have gotten healed of sickness just as they worshiped Him, just as they've praised Him, just as they've glorified Him. People have been baptized in the Holy Spirit as they've just worshiped Jesus, just praised Him. They didn't come there praising the Lord because they needed to be healed or because they wanted to be filled or because they needed a victory in their life. They just praised Him because He's worthy to be praised, because He calls us to praise and worship Him. But God inhabits those praises of His people. I'd like to read in closing tonight, but don't get so excited so quick. Closing might take a few minutes. I'd like to read a story. We beat around the bush to it, I think, twice so far this week. And maybe it's time that we read it. It's from 2 Chronicles chapter 20, and it's a familiar, very familiar story. But I'd just like to underscore a couple of little things from that chapter, from that story. Now, not every doctrine and theology is covered in 2 Chronicles 20. There are other ways to victory. But here's one of God's ways that I have found and many of you have found it works. You read in 2 Chronicles chapter 20 at the beginning of the chapter. The Moabites and the Ammonites and some of the Munites came to make war on Jehoshaphat, and some men came and told Jehoshaphat that a vast army is coming against him from Edom, from the other side of the sea, and it's already right at his doorstep, basically, is what that next verse says. Alarmed, verse 3. I think it says in the King James that Jehoshaphat, he feared. He feared. You know, I sense sometimes in testimonies, not only tonight, but in other testimonies, sometimes, especially at the end of a period of pilgrim camp, I sense fear sometimes in the testimony. The enemies are big, they're daunting, they're too big for me. And I can't face those enemies. Yes, you can. Yes, you can. I'm afraid to go back home because I'll never... No, you won't fall. You can face the enemy. You can be victorious. And we entertain again. You've got to shut the door to those discouraging, despairing, woe-begone thoughts. You might have fear. Jehoshaphat had fear. Fear is okay. I mean, you bring me out to the middle of Brant Lake and throw me overboard, I'll tell you, I'll be afraid because I don't swim very well. I was telling the people in our church the other week, when I passed the rowboat test at Pilgrim Camp as a boy, I went like this and I was swimming, but I was really walking on the bottom. Confession is good for the soul. That's why I never passed the canoe test. I couldn't walk across the lake. It was too high. But that's the only thing I could do. And I'm afraid of certain things. Fear is sometimes healthy. But a lot of fear isn't healthy to dwell on and to let get into your heart. What if? I don't think I can. I'm afraid. I love, and I don't want to deviate too many times because that's not good, but I love the story of David and Goliath. I love it where it says all his brothers and all army and King Saul himself, they were all afraid, scared stiff. Their knees were knocking. They wouldn't go out to face that giant Goliath. And I just love David. So do we all. David hears Goliath and he sees all 9'9" of that boy. But he says, hey, who is he defying the armies of the living God? I mean, who does he think he is? And everybody else says, oh, David says, come on, what's the matter? I got a living God. I'm going to make mincemeat of this guy, and the rest of the story you know. Jehoshaphat feared, but, the King James says, but he set himself. Does it say that, to seek the Lord? He feared, but he set his heart. Not only did he set his own heart to seek the Lord, but he got everybody else that he could along with him. And they didn't all sit in a pity party and say, oh boy, we'll never do this. No, not us. No, not me either. Not you. We're all going to go down the drain together. But thank God, camp is coming soon again. Next year, we'll be back. Yeah, we're going to sink. I know. No. There are weapons, and we have enough of them. Many of them. You know, in nothing be terrified by your adversary. And that's an evident token of perdition on his behalf. When you stand there unafraid, unabashed at his taunts and his roars, and you don't cower in fear, but you stand and face him as we sang this morning, my anchor holds, blow your wildest then, O gale. On my bark so small and frail, by God's grace, I'm not going to fail because my anchor holds. Now, don't let pride get in there and don't become haughty, but by my God, I could run through a troop and leap over a wall. Jehoshaphat, it says he feared, but he set himself to seek the Lord, and he proclaimed a fast for all Judah. The people of Judah came together to seek help from the Lord. Indeed, they came from every town in Judah to seek the Lord. From whence cometh your help? My help comes from the Lord. And then what's the psalmist say, just so that he encourages himself at the very end? My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. Oh, yeah, that adversary's big. Oh, yeah, they got the Munites with them, too. And yeah, the Munites, come on. You know who's on my side or whose side I'm on? They're the one who made the heavens and the earth. I saw it. I walked out there and looked at the stars the other night. Did anybody ever look at the stars here at camp? I'm sure you have. I mean, there were so many of those stars. I mean, I've seen them before, but looking at them again, I thought, boy, I wonder if Abraham saw all these stars when the Lord said, count the stars. Go home to the city. You got a half a chance. Up here, there's no chance. Stars all over. And the one who made them, and I was telling my wife, I was displaying my knowledge. I told her everything I knew about the stars. I read someplace, tell me if I'm right about this, but I think that light from some of those stars, the stars aren't even there anymore. I mean, they burnt themselves out, but we're just getting their light. Is that correct? Supposedly. I mean, nobody's proven it. I don't know, maybe they have. How vast, how expansive this... And the maker of heaven and earth. And the psalmist says, my help comes from him. I'm not supposed to be afraid of what man's going to do to me. I'm supposed to be afraid of that adversary. My help's coming from the one who makes heaven and earth, and I'm supposed to stand. No. And here he says he set himself to seek the Lord as God. And then Jehoshaphat stood in the assembly of Judah in Jerusalem at the temple of the Lord in the front of the new courtyard, and he began to pray. We talked about that. He prayed. He didn't pray a short prayer, but he prayed, Lord, God of our fathers, are you not the God who is in heaven? You rule over all the kingdoms of the nations. Power and might, they're in your hand. Nobody can withstand you. Oh, our God, did you not drive the inhabitants of the land from before us, from before Israel, and you gave it forever to the descendants of Abraham, your friend? They have lived in it and have built in it a sanctuary for your name, saying, if calamity comes upon us, whether by the sword of judgment or plague or famine, we will stand in your presence before this temple that bears your name and will cry out to you in our distress, and you will hear us, and you will save us. No ands, ifs, or buts. Kind of confident. I know God hears our prayer. And I know that as I pray according to his will. And this is his will because he promised that he'd do this. But now, Lord, here are men from Ammon and Moab and Mount Seir whose territory you did not allow us to invade when they came from Egypt. So we turned away from them and didn't destroy them. Now they're repaying us by coming to drive us out of the possession you gave us as an inheritance. Oh, our God, will you not judge them? We have no power. You get that? Underline it, highlight it, do what you got to do. We have no power. And that's why we become afraid. Because we have no power. We have no idea what to do. But he goes on in his prayer. We have no power to face this vast army that is attacking us. We do not know what to do, but our eyes are on you. And you know what to do, Lord. You know how to give the victory again and again. The Lion of Judah shall break every chain and give us the victory sometimes, every now and again. No, again and again. He leads us, you and me that is, he leads us from what to what? Say aloud. Oh, say that one too. He leads us from strength to strength. He leads us from victory to victory. He goes before us to conquering and to conquering. Who's he conquering? Yes. Who's he victor over? Yes. What are you afraid of? I shall fear no evil, for thou art with me. And I'm supposed to be afraid. Tell me another joke. That's a funny one. You should laugh now. Forget about the email mistake. It's hot down here. There's a good joke. I'm supposed to be afraid of that? He's with me. I don't know what to do. I don't have any power. I don't have any might, but he's with me. So, Lord, now what are you going to do? But we have to be in that place, as I say. We have to employ these weapons. We have to do what he tells us and what he wants us to do. When he speaks his word, we need then to act upon it. And the Lord's about to speak his word. So the men of Judah and their wives and their children and their little ones, they're all standing before the Lord. And the Spirit of the Lord comes upon Brother Haziel, who was the son of Zechariah, the son of Benaiah, the son of Jeiel, the son of Medaniah, a Levite of the descendant of Asaph. There's one I know. As he stood in the sanctuary. And when all of a sudden one guy starts prophesying. Hey, wait a minute, he's not allowed to do that. Somebody tell me he can't do that. It's Old Testament. It's okay. God can do what he wants to do when he wants to do it. He really can. He's allowed to. And he came, the Spirit of the Lord came upon Brother Benaiah. I like that too. Because maybe you're Brother Benaiah. And maybe you are. You know, just a regular guy. Just a regular person. Just in the attendance of the congregation as they came together to seek the Lord for his help. And all of a sudden, God's Spirit came upon this brother. And the brother said, listen, King Jehoshaphat and all who live in Judah and Jerusalem. Yeah, Jerusalem. This is what the Lord says to you. Do not be afraid and do not be discouraged because of this vast army. This battle isn't yours. This battle's God's. Oh, it's only yours if you want it to be. It's only yours if you make it yours. But if you'd like God to fight it for you, he will. Not only this one, but any other one. If you want to put it in his lap, he'll defend you, he'll guard you, he'll protect you, he'll fight for you. He's a God who's strong and who's mighty in battle. Who is this King of Glory? Who is he? He is the Lord. The Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. The strong Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. He's strong and mighty in battle. But how does that psalm begin? Yeah, you got it, Linda. Sister Linda. Saint Linda. Lift up your heads, O ye gates. What's that talking about? What's my gate? My gate's a little rusty. What's your gate? Lift up your heads, O ye gates, and be lift up, ye everlasting doors. What's that talking about? Is that the entrance to the city? Is that the entrance to the temple? Isn't it? That's what it was in his day. And where's the temple? Don't you know that you're the temple? Can you open the door of the temple? Can you open the door of your heart? Can you open the door of your mind? Can you open the door of your life? And can you say, Lord, this blows me away and I don't know what to do. Did I say that right, Sister Mary? Yeah, I don't know what to do, Lord, but I'm looking at you and my eyes are on you. And Lord, you're going to fight this battle for me. And as he did that, as the word was going forth, tomorrow just stand still. They will be coming up by the pass of Ziz, and you'll find them at the end of the gorge at the desert of Jeruel. You're not going to have to fight in this battle. There are battles that you will have to fight. There are other ways to win. This isn't the only weapon in the arsenal, but you're not going to have to fight in this one. Just take your position, stand firm, and you'll see the deliverance of the Lord that he will give you, O Judah and Jerusalem. Don't be afraid and don't be discouraged. Is that two times I read that verse? No, I only read that verse one time. Trick question. It's written twice. And why is it written twice? It's important, and because I think there was a man named Jehoshaphat, maybe a few other people that were tempted at least to become discouraged. But don't be dismayed. Don't be discouraged. I want you to go out and stand still and see the salvation of the Lord and face them tomorrow, and the Lord will be with you. So Jehoshaphat bows his face to the ground, and all the people of Jerusalem and Judah, they fell down and worshiped the Lord. Then some of the Levites from the Kohathites and the Korathites stood up, and what did they do? They praised the Lord. They praised the God of Israel. And then what does it say? With a loud voice. Is that important? Is there a weapon called sitting in silence and waiting on God? Is that a weapon? You better believe it is. And there are times when you need to sit still and be still and know that he is God and he will be exalted on the earth. There are times that there's nothing to do but just lie down maybe on your face and on your knees and just get down before God and just sit in his presence. And that's a mighty weapon. Not too often employed, but a mighty weapon. But there is a mighty weapon, dear brothers and sisters. And it's a weapon of praise. And there is a part of praise that is biblical when we praise him with a loud voice. Oh, but Brother Ernie, you said that decibels don't count. No, they don't, just for decibel's sake. But sometimes God just causes us to, whatever way you interpret this verse, everything that within you, I believe the first application is that everything in my body, my heart, my soul, everything is reaching out to him and just bowing and worshiping him. But maybe there's also something to every part of my Every ounce of strength, everything that's within me. I lift up my hands. You know why I lift up my hands? I don't know why I lift up my hands. Why do you lift up your hands when you praise the Lord? Or maybe I should ask this question. Why don't you lift up your hands when you praise the Lord? I lift up my hands when I praise the Lord because the Bible says so. Now, I've heard it explained different ways. I've heard it taught to me when I was a boy. These are antennas. Now, I don't know if that satisfied me fully. I mean, I never got a radio reception this way. But maybe it wasn't a radio that I was trying to get a hold of. Maybe it was another kind of reception that I was trying to get hold of. And maybe as I lift up my hands, now you might say, but I don't do that because I don't understand that. There's your problem in a nutshell. You're again doing what you understand. You're leaning to your own understanding, and you're not yet willing to get into the Word of God and just do it, just do it, just do it, whether you understand it or not. And when it says that you come into his presence and in Isaiah 12, cry out and shout, you know, sometimes it's okay to shout. And sometimes when people shout, you know, the next thing you hear at the dinner meal or walking down the road is, did you hear what he did? He was shouting. He was making a fool of him. No, he's not making a fool of himself. Maybe he was getting released from the bondage that there was ever in his body for 30 years. And God was giving a tremendous victory and deliverance. And we poke fun at those things, and we poke fun at them because we don't see them. So you ever see people laugh and just laugh and laugh and laugh? Did you ever see that? Did you ever see people laugh? I've been in meetings and I've seen people and been there, done that, just laughed. I don't know why I was laughing, but just laughed and laughed and laughed for 10, 15, 20 minutes. I remember as a boy in a prayer meeting one day, I was just a young teenager, I guess, at the time. And the two leaders at the time, one of them just started, and the rest of us boys were going, and then another one started, and and they were just like, but there was something different about their laughing and my laughing. When I finished laughing, I was no better for it. Probably got bawled out for doing it. When they finished laughing, they had an encounter with God. These are strange manifestations, you might think. But they're in the Bible. You can dance before the Lord. Some people say Brother Ernie doesn't like dancing. I love dancing. I'm all for dancing. Would to God that we would all be expert dancers. But don't go to class and get dancing shoes so that you can learn well how to do it in church. I don't want you to teach me how to dance in church. I want the Lord to teach me how to dance in church. Because I remember Josie Scudo, all 300 pounds of her, going around the church like this with her eyes closed. And I thought, boy, any minute now she's going over my trumpet, or somebody's foot's going to take her down, and great was the fall of it. But it didn't happen that way. And she just went like this all around. And I noticed, even as a boy, that when she finished, just the glory of God just came down all over Josie and everybody else. Oh, that's a strange thing. David danced before the Lord, and his wife said, what a nut you're making. You've got no decorum. You're the king. Kings don't dance. They go, and everybody goes, and David's going, the ark is coming. The Lord is here. God is coming to his people. I mean, it's okay. You ever hear Brother Edwin tell the story about jumping a good one? Or is that Brother Wanamaker's story? That's Brother Wanamaker's. On the corner of Wabash and whatever that cross street was, he felt himself a little discouraged. He felt himself a little down. He felt himself sagging in his spirit. And he said, I put down that suitcase right there and then, and I jumped a good one. Yeah, you can do any of these things. You can jump good ones and you can dance and there's nothing at all. You can praise the Lord and there's nothing at all. But if God is in it, if Bahaziel, whoever he was, by the Spirit of God, not because he had a bright idea, let's all dance now. For the next 15 minutes, we're all going to dance. Let's all do it. No, that's not it. By the Spirit of God came and moved and, oh man, let's praise the Lord. We're not going to have to fight in this battle. The Lord's going to fight in this battle. And so they got out to the battle gates or where it was supposed to be, and they began to praise the Lord with a very loud voice. With a very loud voice. Shh. You ever hear? I mean, I could go on all night like this because this is so important. Ever hear people tell you that God's not deaf? Shh, God's not deaf. Well, God's not deaf, but there are things in us that are hard and rebellious. And it sometimes takes more than just, Lord knows where I am, and if he wants to deliver me, he'll have to find me. And he can deliver me because he can do anything he wants to do, and he wants to do it. Yeah, he can. But the Bible tells us a lot better than that. They praised the Lord with a very loud voice, and early in the morning they left for the desert of Tekoa, and as they set out, Jehoshaphat stood, and he said, listen to me, Jehoshaphat, now listen to me, he said. And Judah and the people of Jerusalem, have faith in the Lord your God, and you will be upheld. Have faith in his prophets, and you will be successful. After consulting the people, Jehoshaphat appointed them to sing to the Lord and to praise him for the splendor of his holiness. And as they went out at the head of the army, they said, give thanks to the Lord for his mercy, his love. It endures forever. They didn't have to do anything else. They didn't have to be specific about the enemy. Oh, Lord, destroy the Munites. Oh, Lord, destroy the Moabites. Oh, Lord, destroy the Ammonites. Oh, Lord, you know, the Ammonites have six toes. They didn't. I think that was another tribe. Lord, they have, the peculiar thing. They got this nose, and they're big, and they're this. And they stop looking at them. Stop focusing on them. Stop entertaining them. That's no good. What you need to do is look at the Lord and focus on Him. And see Him, see His victory, and praise Him for His holiness. Praise Him for His love. And these poor people didn't know anything about the cross. They didn't know anything about the blood of Jesus. They didn't know anything about victory through the blood and the fetters that are broken through that precious blood. They didn't know anything about that, but they did know God is good. And they did know God is merciful. And they did know that God loved them, and He picked them out of a people because He just loved them, and He set His love on them. And that's what He's done for you, and 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 for you. So we have a right, and we have a privilege. Don't always have to just, Lord, I praise You for Your majesty, Your love, Your mercy, Your glory. And as they began, and I wouldn't have fought a battle like this. I wouldn't have been able to dream it up in a million years. I'd put there, Danny, you just came? I'd put him in the front because he's big. Not because I don't like him, but because I figured I got a fighting chance. He could at least take care of six Munites. Then I just got another 185,000 to deal with, but that's where Dan comes in. I don't know what I would have done. I would have run the other way. I don't know. And, we come up with our own little dumb ideas that don't work anyway. But when we do it with the way the Lord says to do it, you got an enemy, you got a battle, you got a situation, you got a problem, you got a whatever it is going on in your life that you're afraid of, well, I got good news. You got weapons. He hasn't left you comfortless. He's here with you. His Holy Spirit is with you. His Word He's given to you. What more can He say than to you? He has said to you who for refuge to Jesus have fled. He's given you these precious, precious truths in His Word. And I'm so thankful personally for the weapon of praise. And I'm so thankful that I can employ that weapon, and I do often. Because I find myself in situations more than I'd like to find myself in them when I don't know what to do. I don't know which way to turn. I don't know why I am where I am and doing what I'm doing, and I don't know how to fight this battle, or I don't know what the answer to that. But I do know one thing that I can do. I can say, Jesus, I don't know what I'm doing. I don't know what to do, but my eyes are on You. And I know that You're able. And I know You're the one that made heaven and earth. And I know that You can move heaven and earth because You've done it before. And I know that You're able for this need. And so I'm just going to praise You. I'm just going to praise You. I'm just going to praise You for who You are. Oh, worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. And as they began to sing praises to the Lord sent ambushes against the men of Ammon and Moab and Mount Seir, who were invading Judah, and they were defeated. The men of Ammon and Moab rose up against the men from Mount Seir to destroy and annihilate them. And after they finished slaughtering the men from Seir, they helped to destroy one another. The men of Judah came and they overlooked the desert, and they saw a vast army. There were dead bodies lying on the ground. No one had escaped. And then they began to take the plunder, and they had so much stuff, and God gave the victory. And I'm thankful that God is able to give the victory. I'm not picking on poor Sasha. You're not poor. You're rich. If God be for us, who could be against us? And God is able to make all His grace to abound towards you, that you might have sufficiency. And we got to take these weapons. Every one of us. You need to take these weapons. And we need to learn to better use them under the direction of the Holy Spirit. See, I'm thankful that God is able for you. And for you. There is something in the Bible called the high-sounding praises of God. You ever been in a meeting where it seems as if that whole meeting just seemed to get kicked up a notch? You know what I mean by that? It seems as if God just came, and the praises as people came in were just the ordinary, the worshiping, and then all of a sudden God just seemed to come, and the praise just seemed to change, and it just seemed to be more in God, and it just seemed to be more powerfully in God. And you knew that God was inhabiting those praises of His people, and that God was winning victories. And thank God He's able to do that again and again and again. Now, maybe tonight the Lord's going to get us on our knees and we're going to get silent before Him. Maybe tonight the Lord wants us to employ the weapon of praise. No more need fear, no more need doubting, no more need pride, no more need this adversary or that thing control in my life. Because, as Sister Aletha said, the precious blood of Jesus Christ has been shed. And Jesus is able to break those fetters and those bondages and give us the victory again and again. Give Him a chance. No. Give yourself a chance. Give yourself a chance to be an overcomer by letting in the overcomer, and He will conquer you.